Good morning. How is everyone today?
Let's see, will that stay?
Oh, it's going to stay up. All right, before we start, I have an announcement. Dan already stole my second announcement. Shannon had her baby. Yay! He should be the one to give it, though. I mean, he is the grandpa, so. The other announcement that I have to give you is that our women's Christmas dessert is coming. It will be on December 4th and 5th at 7 p.m. More information will be announced this weekend, and tickets will go on sale this weekend. But today, we are looking for women who would like to host a table for either that Thursday night or that Friday night. There will be a sign-up sheet in the foyer as you leave today if you are interested in hosting a table. Just go ahead and sign up on that, and then I will follow up with you later on this week with information. But we're looking for 20 women for Thursday, 20 women for Friday that would want to host a table for us. And again, we are not selling tickets. Even as a table hostess, I'm not selling you tickets today. It's just I'm gauging interest, okay? All right. And more information will come. Okay, that's it. Let's go ahead and pray before we get into our study on the tongue. Dear Lord, we just thank you so much for this morning. Lord, we thank you for your word. Lord, your words trump any words that we have. Lord, I pray that as we sit at your feet today, that we would quiet the noise from the outside world, and we would listen for your still small voice, that it would be your voice and your words that we hear this morning. We thank you, we praise you for each woman that's here, we praise you for just the word that you're going to share with us today. We thank you, and all these things we pray. Amen. Sticks and stones may break my bones, but words will never hurt me. I'm pretty sure every single one of us in this room have heard that statement before. Some of us have probably even said it. I did some research on the phrase. I found that it was first published back in 1862 in the Christian Reporter. And it was written up in 1862 as an old adage. That means that in 1862, that phrase was old. This phrase that has no known author, has been around for well over 100 years. And although we often use this phrase to help us toughen up and to encourage us to not let others' words hurt us, the reality is that there is no truth in that statement. The tongue is powerful, and it leaves a lasting impression on us. Proverbs 25:15 tells us that a gentle tongue breaks a bone. The idea here is that a gentle spoken word of a wise person can have a very significant impact, shaping even the most stubborn of hearts. The truth is that words are powerful. They have the ability to build up or tear down, to speak life or speak death. In Genesis 1:3, we see the power of God's words. We see that he spoke the earth into existence. God said, let there be light, and there was light. God spoke. He gave a simple verbal command, and the earth was formed. Words are powerful. The book of Proverbs references the tongue, lips, mouth, or words nearly 150 times. Proverbs 18:21 gives us the foundational truth about the tongue, saying that there is death and life in the power of the tongue, and those who love it will eat its fruit. Your words are either giving life or they're giving death. We have spent the last few weeks talking about the heart and the mind. We talked about the heart. We talked about the importance of guarding and protecting what we let come into our heart, because whatever we let come into our heart is going to go into our mind. And last week, Meef shared that our mind is a garden. The mind is either going to magnify the problem or it will magnify the God who created it. And today, as we look at the tongue, we're going to see that it is the body part that carries the information from the heart and the mind out into the world. The tongue reveals the condition of our heart and the thoughts in our mind. Bless you. Matthew 12:34 says that out of the abundance of the heart, the mouth speaks. The heart, mind, and tongue are so deeply entwined with one another. You cannot talk about the tongue without acknowledging the influence that the heart and the mind have on it. The tongue reveals the condition of our heart, and our tongue reveals the fruit of our life. Matthew 7:16 tells us that we will know them by their fruit. The fruit never lies. James 3 compares our tongue to a fire. And I love that analogy because I really like fire. I love to light candles around my house. I love a good fire in the fireplace. I love a good bonfire with friends. Those are all things that bring me those warm fuzzies, you know? But fire can also be very destructive, and I am very aware of this. I pay a lot of money for fire insurance because we live in an extreme fire zone. And that's pretty destructive to my budget. Just a couple weeks ago, Chris and I were in Ramona, and I got a fire warning via text. And there was a fire not very far from our house, and we weren't sure if we would need to evacuate or not, but we weren't home, so there was not a lot we could do about it. Fortunately for us, the fire department around here is pretty quick, and they got a hold of it in an hour or so. Wildfires are common to us here in Southern California, and so I think we understand this analogy. We have all seen or been affected by the damage that a fire can do to vegetation, to homes, and unfortunately to lives lost. Fire can be deadly, but fire can also bring life when it's controlled correctly. When controlled, fire can help clean our forest, which allows healthy vegetation growth. Fire helps to sustain life, keeping us warm and giving us a means to cook our food. But there is no middle ground with fire. It's either sustaining life or it's causing death. And the Bible is very clear that that's how our tongue is. How we use our tongue, how we communicate with the world around us, will either bring life or death. I don't know about you, but I know that unfortunately I'm really good at bringing death with my tongue. My mouth gets me in trouble a lot. And it's always when I'm stressed and overwhelmed, it's when my heart is not at peace, that I lash out in frustration and I say things that I shouldn't say. At the root cause, it's always that I haven't been cultivating my relationship with the Lord as I know I should. It's those times that I'm not using my mouth to communicate with Him, that I'm not praying, that I'm not opening His word and letting His words pour over me, that I'm not listening for His still small voice to lead and guide me. And it's in those moments, sometimes unfortunately seasons, that I am quick-tempered and short in how I speak to my family, my friends, my coworkers, the clerk at the grocery store, the people driving next to me that are bothering me. But when I'm talking with God, when I am being diligent to spend time with Him, listening to His words, my heart and mind are stayed on Him, that is when my soul is at peace and I have more grace and kindness, and that's what comes out of my mouth. And I like that version of me much better, that more gracious and kind version, but it's hard to keep her around. It's a lot of work. John 15:4 says that we are to abide in Him and He will abide in us, as the branch cannot bear fruit of itself unless it abides in the vine. Neither can you unless you abide in Christ. We have to be diligent to spend time with the Lord, diligent to guard our heart and mind, watching what I allow to speak into me and making sure that His voice is the primary voice in my life, because it's only with Him that we can tame our tongue. I struggle, and I tend to lean towards being a more critical person, in case you hadn't noticed. And so often, it's criticism that comes out of my mouth. And so I know that I have to watch what I say or who I'm around, what music I listen to, what shows that I watch, what social media things I let pour into my mind. I've had to learn to not spend time in places or conversation where there is a lot of criticism. I have had to distance myself from friends because they criticize, and most conversations center around talking about other people and everything else. And I found myself becoming increasingly critical when I hang out with those people. And so James 4:11 says, "Do not speak evil against one another." When I allow criticism to come out of my mouth, the Bible calls that evil. Maybe you're struggling with criticism today. Or maybe for you, you're drawn to gossip. You love to be on the inside and have all the insider information, both hearing it and airing it. You need to guard your heart and mind by distancing yourself from people who you might feel tempted to gossip with. Or maybe you need to stop hanging out with people that you know you'll be tempted to ask them for insider information. Proverbs 16:28 says that a perverse man spreads strife and a whisperer separates close friends. Are you struggling to share information that isn't yours to share? What we hold dear to our heart, what we think on, and what we, that's what's going to come out of our mouth. The sin cycle goes around and around between the heart, the mind, and the mouth. And it goes around and around multiple times. We have the chance to get a hold of and stop the sin before it comes flying out of us. My husband likes to use my blow dryer to dry his beard, okay? Whatever. And typically, is he in here? I don't think he's in here. And typically, he leaves the dryer sitting on the counter. And it really irritates me, like a lot, way more than it should. And when he does that, I find myself saying to myself things like, gosh, he is so lazy. And my thought life that Meef spoke about last week starts to run on that thought. And I start to assign not only blame, but motive for his actions. He is lazy. He's doing this to irritate me. He knows how I get frustrated with the kids when they don't clean up after themselves. I can't believe he's doing the same thing to me. He doesn't listen to me. He doesn't care about anyone but himself. And I ruminate on these thoughts. I think about these words over and over, and they eventually seep into my heart. And then my heart gets angry with him about a blow dryer. And then later in the day, when I see him, I'm short and snappy with how I speak to him. My tone of voice is curt, and I'm speaking to him out of my offense. He offended me because he left the blow dryer out. Even though I never bring the blow dryer up to him, I have allowed my heart and my mind to be impacted by this, and I have been harboring and speaking a negative internal voice about it, which is still the tongue, by the way. And now how I act towards him, how I communicate with him, is an attitude of irritation. My words are short, my tone is cold. And my tongue is not giving life to my marriage in those moments. It's giving death. And I love that quote that Meef put up on the screen last week. It read, "How we interpret or process the events of our lives will produce perceptions or conclusions that govern all of our attitudes and responses. Because this will become the reality by which we live." How we process events, what we choose to think about events in our life, is going to determine what comes out of our mouth. Yes, the battle is in our mind, but our tongue tells people whether we are winning or losing that battle. I choose to interpret the blow dryer being left out as a personal attack against me and an indication of my husband's character. My perception was that he is lazy, and he did this to annoy me. This is what my mind focused on. This is what words I fed my heart and my mind. That revealed that I had a heart issue of doubting that Chris selflessly loves and cares for me. Because I was too busy telling myself that if he cares for me, he would listen to me. He would know that it annoys me when people don't pick up after themselves. And since he didn't do those things, he must not care about what I think or feel about things. I spoke negative things about my husband and my marriage to my own mind and heart, and then I reacted by being short and snappy in my responses. And he knows none of this, by the way. And the reality is that that was a faulty perception that I had. And that was revealed to me the very next day when he again got out the blow dryer. And I happened to be in the room when he finished, and he put the blow dryer down, and he turned to me and said, "Are you going to use your blow dryer today? If so, I'll leave it out for you." And so at this moment, it's probably important for me to let you guys know that I am usually not in the room and not at the house when he does this. I'm usually taking the kids to school, and I haven't gotten myself ready for the day. He knows that I have to come home and get myself ready in order to come to work. So my perception was that he was being lazy and uncaring, but the reality was that he was assuming I was going to use the dryer, and he was leaving it out for me. His internal voice was telling him that he was doing something kind, leaving the dryer out for me, while my self-talk was telling me that he was a selfish jerk. The words that we tell ourselves, our self-talk, is so important to be aware of. We think of the tongue as the things that we verbally say out loud, but our tongue influences not only the world around us, but us as well. We say things to ourselves, we mutter our opinions, and they are influencing our mind and heart. We think that because no one else heard them, that it didn't impact anyone else, so those are words just for us. But Psalm 139:4 says, "Even before a single word is on my tongue, you, Lord, know it completely." The Lord already knows our fruit. Our mouth just reveals it. It's revealed in our words, and it comes out in our tone of voice. It comes out in our body language, comes out in our text messaging, in our social media posting. The tongue has the power to destroy. And the reality is that the tongue is hard to tame. There's a reason that the Bible tells us to guard what goes into our heart and to take every thought captive. We have to be cautious about what goes into our heart and mind, because if we don't stop it at the heart level, then it goes to the mind. And if we don't stop it at the mind level, it eventually will fly out of our mouth impulsively. You cannot tame your own tongue, but the Holy Spirit can. It's only with the help of the Holy Spirit and the self-control that only He can give us that we are able to control our tongue. Psalm 141:3 says, "Set a guard over my mouth, Lord. Keep watch over the door of my lips." We must surrender our life, all of it, our heart, our mind, and our mouth to the Holy Spirit's leading, and then ask Him to guard what communication comes out of our mouth. The Lord will be faithful to help us to learn to take every thought captive, to pause before we let something fly out of our mouth. Proverbs 15:28 says, "The heart of the righteous studies how to answer, but the mouth of the wicked pours forth evil." We need to study how to respond, which means that we need to slow down to actually study. We need to slow down and think about what we're going to say before we say it. And not only what we're going to say, but how we say it. And to think about how what we say might influence people around us. I have a sign hanging in my dining room that reminds all 5 members of my family that we are to think before we speak. And think is written as an acronym. And so for myself and my family, because no one is too old for this strategy, We all say dumb things and can use more help in this area. So for us, when we say or we communicate something that we know we should not have, we look at the acronym and we see where the breakdown happened. Where did the communication fail? And prayerfully, eventually, we get to the point where we have, with the Holy Spirit's help, of course, learned to pause before responding and ask these five simple questions before we use our mouth. We all need to learn to ask, is what I'm going to say true? Is it helpful? Is it inspiring? Is it necessary? And is it kind? And so when you have a thought, we need to take that thought captive. I think sometimes we say these Bible verses, but we don't always know how to practically put it into place. How many times do we say, like, oh, just take every thought captive? What does that mean? What does that look like? For me, it looks like this. It's what I try to do. When I'm successful at stopping a thought and I can take it captive by running it through, is this true? Is it thoughtful? Is it inspiring? Is it necessary? I can take that captive and I can stop it and hopefully win the battle one more time. And the more times we win the battle, the more we can submit to Christ, the more good fruit will come out of us. So the first question is, what I'm going to say true? Proverbs 6, 16 to 19. These six things the Lord hates. Yes, seven are an abomination to him. A proud look, a lying tongue, hands that shed innocent blood, a heart that devises wicked plans, feet that are swift and running to evil, a false witness who speaks lies, and one who sows discord among the brethren. I think it's interesting that two of the seven have to do with lying. If what we have to say is not true, we should not say it. The Bible is very clear about lies. Lying lips are an abomination to the Lord, but those who deal truthfully are his delight. Proverbs 12:22 is where that came from. The Lord hates lying, but it is something that we all do. People lie for a variety of reasons. Sometimes they're embarrassed about something. They feel shameful of the truth. They're trying to avoid punishment or shame. They're trying to manipulate or control a situation or a person. Sometimes they do it for self-preservation. We are called as believers to die to self. And lying is completely selfish. It is allowing others to think what exactly you want them to think. And none of that honors God. If what you have to say is not factual, it should not be said. And sometimes we don't know if something's factual, and we make an assumption, or we think it's true, but we don't really know. And it might be tempting to say it anyway based on what we think might be true, but it's just safest that if you don't know if it's a fact, don't say it, because God is not soft on lying. When we do have something truthful to say, remember that Ephesians 4:15 says that we should always speak the truth in love. The second thing that we need to think about with our words is what we're going to say helpful? I don't know about you. I don't know what it is, but there's a lot of people that just like to talk. They like to hear their own voice, but their words aren't really helpful. And oftentimes we say things just to say them. There's just no purpose. But Proverbs 12:18 says that the tongue of the wise promotes health. And Proverbs 15:4 says that a wholesome tongue is a tree of life. And Proverbs 15:7 says the lips of the wise disperse knowledge. Our words, according to God's word, should be helpful. They should edify. They should build people up. They should be wholesome. They should impart knowledge to those around us. Sometimes we talk just to fill the space because we're uncomfortable with quiet. But Proverbs 10:19 says that when words are many, sin is unavoidable. The more we speak, the more opportunity for us to say something that doesn't honor God. And so we need to pause and think about what we are going to say and if it is helpful to say it. To be honest, sometimes this one trips me up. Because it might be helpful for you to say it. Or at least it feels helpful to you. But we also have to think if it will be helpful for others to hear it. Because sometimes we like to vent. And we say things that feel helpful to us because it gets our thoughts out of our head. And it makes us feel good in the moment. And it might feel helpful to us in the moment. But that person we vented to now has to carry that burden of whatever we just unloaded from our mind onto them. And so we need to ask ourselves, is this helpful not only for myself, but is it edifying to the people around me that I'm going to say it to and that are going to hear it? Proverbs 29:11 says, "A fool vents all her feelings, but a wise woman holds them back. If it is not going to be helpful to all, don't say it." The third question we need to ask ourselves is if what I'm going to say, is it inspiring? Matthew 5:9 said, "Blessed are the peacemakers, for they shall be called sons of God." And Proverbs 10:31 says, "The oath of the righteous brings forth wisdom." Our words influence everyone around us. We're all influencers. For me, the most influence I have is to my husband and my children. How are my words influencing them? Am I influencing them to be the best version of themselves? And I think this one's easy to downplay. Is it inspiring? Doesn't sound like a very good big deal. But in reality, we all have more influence over people than we realize. I became acutely aware of the impact of language and its influence on individuals when I was working in education. And this is not a knock to any one type of education over another. It's just insight that I gained while sitting in a unique position. At the time, I was a school psychologist assigned to two separate schools, one being an elementary school and the other being the neighboring middle school where all those elementary school kids would eventually end up. And I would sit in these elementary school classes observing student behavior and how it impacted academic performance. But I quickly noted that although their behavior did impact their academic performance, it was the adults in the room's language, the adults' words, that shaped the child's behavior. I would watch observation after observation where the adult would speak with an exacerbated tone, or would come over to me and tell me the child's motive for behavior while the child was still in earshot. And I would watch how that child would then live up to the adult's expectations of them. I would listen to a teacher say that the child was naughty or disrespectful because they weren't sitting still in class. And I would notice that the child would become increasingly uncomfortable. They'd start to fidget more, they'd become more impulsive. Their behavior would get worse. I watched how the words spoken had this intense power to influence their actions, and not just for bad, but for good also, because the kids that were told that they were being good or were complimented or that I witnessed getting praise, that good behavior increased every single time. And so I would see these kids eventually come to the middle school, especially the ones that I had heard negative things about them, and their mood had shifted. And people would say things like, well, it's because they're middle schoolers, you know. People would say bad things about teenagers, and, oh, middle schoolers are crazy, and they would talk bad about them. But that wasn't what my observations showed. Instead, what I saw was that these kids who had been told negative things about themselves over and over again throughout elementary school were now in middle school defining themselves by the same behavior that the adults of influence had been saying for years. I saw an increase in anger and frustration and short tempers. I saw lack of academic effort, and when I asked, they would say, well, why try when nobody cares anyway? They would say how they hate teachers because their perspective was that teachers don't care about them and only say negative things. See, words hurt. The words would get into the student's mind and eventually down into their heart, and the negative words became embedded in them, and they began to define themselves by those words as they grew up. And this is not a knock to any one type of school, and it's not a knock to teachers, because I see this all over the place. I've worked in every educational setting, from public school, homeschool, private school, non-public schools. I see this in homes. I see it out in the grocery store. The things that we speak to our children, the words that we use to the people around us, it goes into their mind and their heart, and it has deep influences. It shapes us all. Every relationship we have is influenced by words. What are the words that we are speaking about our kids, about our jobs, about our spouses and our coworkers, even our friends, our elected officials, about leadership? Do your words inspire someone to be a better version of themselves? And if the answer is no, then don't say it. The next thing that we need to ask ourselves about our words is what are our words necessary? Ephesians 4:29 says, let no corrupt word proceed out of your mouth, but what is good for necessary edification, that it may impart grace to the hearers. Proverbs 11:12 says that a woman of understanding will hold her peace. Our world is loud. Everyone has an opinion on everything. They feel the need to share their opinion from the mountaintops, adding to the chaos of the world. The older I get, though, I just want peace. The only opinion I want to care about is God's. I want my words to honor Him. I want the only words that I speak to be the words that He would have me speak. And more times than not, God is wanting us to say nothing. We tend to think more highly of ourselves than we ought to, and we think that what we have to say is needed in that moment. If they just heard my opinion, if they just heard my advice, they would change their minds. It would help them. If my kids heard my tone of voice and my anger, they'll start behaving better. If my friends heard the soothing words I have to say about her mood will brighten up. We think we know just how to handle a situation, but oftentimes our presence is more important than words. Job 2:13 says, so they sat down with him on the ground 7 days and 7 nights, and no one spoke a word to him, for they saw that his grief was great. There are so many situations in life that are hard and challenging to walk through, and in our human mind, we don't know how to respond to them. We don't have the proper perspective, and so we often talk to fill the space, saying dumb and unintentionally hurtful things. I remember when we were grieving the loss of our son, I was on the phone with someone, and they asked how I was, and I was honest and vulnerable with them. And they quickly replied, well, time heals all wounds, we'll talk to you later, and hung up. And I remember thinking at first that it was really good that they hung up, because I too would have said something hurtful in response. But then after calming down, I remember thinking how, gosh, what I really need is someone to just sit with me in my pain. That there was no words that were going to comfort my grieving heart in that moment. I just needed presence. Sometimes we mess up the presence with our words. And so if you don't know if your words are needed, don't share them. Ask the Lord. Ask Him to show you if your words are needed in this moment. Ask Him to give you the right words in the right time. He is so faithful. He will give you the right words to say with the right tone in the right time if we ask Him. The last question we need to ask ourselves is, are the words that I'm going to say kind? Not every word we have to speak is going to be positive and uplifting. Sometimes we have to say hard, uncomfortable, or corrective things. But it is important that even those words, especially those words, are spoken kindly. How we say something goes a long way in how others receive it. Proverbs 15:1 says that a soft answer turns away wrath, but a harsh word stirs up anger. And Proverbs 25:11 says that a word fitly spoken is like apples of gold in a setting of silver. A word spoken the right way in the right time can have such a beautiful impact on people. For me, I see this the most in my marriage. So many times I want to impulsively speak. But I have found that the Lord is faithful, that if I can hold my tongue and I can pray and ask God to give me the right words at the right time with the right tone, He always delivers. And when I see God providing that opportunity to bring up something tough, that's when I follow His lead. The words are well received, and it ends up strengthening our marriage. Now, do I always stop my thoughts? Do I always guard my mouth? No. There's none good. No, not one. So no, sometimes and more often than not, I still say things that I should not say, and it does not go well. It doesn't produce quite the impact I want, and then I regret not stopping my tongue. But that is where God's grace and forgiveness come in. God's word tells us that if we are to confess our sins, He is faithful and just to forgive us of all of our sins. Too often, I think we downplay our words, and if we say something that hurt or offended people, we just try to justify it, or we shrug it off as not a big deal. I didn't mean anything by it. But Proverbs 26:18-19 says, "Like a madman who throws firebrand arrows and death, is the man who deceives his neighbor and says, 'I was only joking.'" The big takeaway is that our words are very serious. And so we have to take our words seriously. Our words can cause hurt and pain. I don't want to be a mad woman. We need to confess our sins. When I realize that my words have hurt someone, like, I need to confess my sin. I need to own that and go and apologize to that person. Think of what it can do for that relationship. Matthew 5:23-24 says, "Therefore, if you bring your gift to the altar and there remember that your brother has something against you, leave your gift there before the altar and go your way. First be reconciled to your brother and then come and offer your gift." God is a God of restoration, and He commands us to seek out forgiveness from a sister, even when we have hurt them with our words. Let's pray. Lord, we just thank You so much for Your words. Lord, I thank You that You are faithful and just to love us so much, to not let us just run our mouths, Lord, but that You are always there to help us put a guard over our mouth, Lord. You are always there to give us the right words to say. Lord, we cannot tame the tongue on our own, but we can because of You. And we thank You for the sanctification, Lord. We thank You for the changes and the growth that You are bringing into our heart and our mind and our tongue, Lord. Help us to be women who don't tear other women down, who don't discourage other people, who criticize, Lord. Help us to be women who build up, who encourage, who speak life to the world around us. Lord, we thank You for this morning. We thank You for each woman who is here. We thank You for Your word. We ask all these things in Your name we pray. Amen.